A very good morning, Namibia. Good morning, good morning, good morning, my dear listener. It's that time again. You got to lock in into Mind Matters. Thank you, Francina. And my dear listeners, I always invite you to tune in to Social Times. They're always very, very, very interesting, stuff. That goes in that show. So make sure that you tune in to Social Times. Make it a habit to tune in because they are really, really, really informative information and stuff on that show. So good morning and welcome. Our time is about 8 minutes. 8 minutes past the time. Past 11. It's 8 minutes past 11. Welcome to Eagle FM. And at this time, your favorite show, Mind Matters, the show where we talk about things that really, 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 really matter. The stuff happening right here, right now, in our heads, in our homes, in our hearts. I'm your host, Big Mike. Today we are going deep. All right? So we are going deep, and I'm inviting you to actually go deep with me. Okay? So just trust me. Go deep with me. Where am I going? So you might just trust me. And before we do that, before we even begin, I want you to relax. I want you to relax, and I want you to do something for me. Okay? Right now. So wherever you are, whether you are driving, cooking, cleaning, sitting at the desk at work, wherever you find yourself or wherever you are listening us from, could be from Katima, from Opuo, Hangwena, or Helao Nafidi, or Chikango, Ondango, right here, Swakopmund, Wavish Bay, Karasburg, Keetmanshoop, and in the capital, maybe Gobabis as well. So where are you listening from? Wherever you are listening us from, so I want you just to take one breath. Take a breath, a deep, deep breath, okay? Breathe in and breathe out, okay? Breathe in and breathe out. So there was this guy. So before I go, there was this guy, actually, I was taking him on a counseling session. I said, well, before we start, let's just recollect ourselves and then just breathe in and breathe out. That deep breath. You know what? So he felt like, these are mumbo jumbos that this, psychologists and counselors always do. Now, let me tell you one thing, okay? So sometimes it's just because people are not explained what that actually, how does this work? Now, imagine when you are, let's say, for example, you are in a very tense environment. Let's actually, something is threatening you in some way or another. Whether it's an imagined, whether the threat is an imagination, or whether you're imagining it, or whether it's a real threat in life, a real, real, real threat. What happened? Your breath become very, your rhythm, your breath rhythm becomes very short. You start to breathe very, 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 very short. Okay? Your breathing rhythm becomes short. What does the body regulate that in the way that it helps you to fight or run, fight and flight, okay? Response. So it's a message to your mind that something is not right here. Be ready. Be on alert. So that's why you start your breathing, it's actually very shorter. And you start maybe to sweat, you started to, to feel tense and all that. It preparing your body to do something, either to fight or to run. Okay? I'm explaining to you. So when you take a deep breath, okay, when we say take a deep breath, it's a message to your mind. All right? It's not just a mumbo jumbo kind of activity that you do. It's a message to your mind to say, it's a message to your mind that says there's no danger. Believe me, that's a message to your mind that there is no danger. Okay, relax. So that kind of breath, it's meaning, it's a message to your mind. So understand that. When I said, look, I want you to relax. So, and every time, even you do this, sometimes you do that unconsciously. So, you know, when you are tense, you're going to do a speech. Say, for example, you're going to do a presentation and you are so nervous. What do? You breathe. You have to have a deep breath to relax your mind. I mean, to relax, it's a message to your mind to say, relax, relax. Okay. You got this. Okay. Do that when you are tense. Yeah? A deep breath. Take a deep breath. Take a number of deep breaths before if you feel tense. And that's what I want you to do now. So I want you to relax. I want you to have a good time. It's about 11 o'clock. What you'll be doing, you're probably busy. You have your radio on or you have your app on, you know. So relax. And that's what I want you to do. Okay? Okay? I want you to relax. So because, you know, have you done that? Okay? Breathe in again, a deep one. Let's do that together. A deep one. Okay. I'm talking, mine is not too deep. Okay. So have a deep one and breathe out. Okay. Just to relax. So we're going to have a conversation. It's going to be, you know, it's going to touch some things, real things and deep things as well. So I need you present. I need you present. I need you with me. So, yeah, and that would help you to, you know, to be present. Now, listen here. Did you know that approximately 70% of Namibians suffer from stress and chronic health conditions? Something related to what actually Francina was talking about. 70% Namibians suffer from stress and chronic health conditions. 70%. That means if you are actually sitting in a taxi, okay, with five other people right now, chances are most of you are carrying some heavy load. The chances are that most of you are carrying, you know, those stresses load. And most of you are not talking about it. You are carrying this heavy load, but you're not talking about it. No, I'm not saying talking about it in a taxi now, but I'm saying you're carrying this in your life, but you're not talking about it. And here's something else. Between April 2024 and February 2025, in our beautiful Namibia, in this land of the brave, in the country that we call the land of the brave, over 4,400 cases of gender-based violence were reported. 4,400. And those are only the reported ones. Eh? These are just the reported one. My people, you know, we know many more are normally go unreported. So we know this, the number, it must be really, really, really high because majority could actually go unreported. Majority actually go unreported. If we're talking about 4,400, so that means we're talking about more than that goes unreported. So today on Mind Matters, now we're not just going to talk about problems, all right? We're not just going to talk about problems. No. We are going to talk about root, okay? We're going to talk about root, the invisible thing beneath all of this. Where is all this coming from? The one thing that drives almost every decision you make, one thing that drives almost every decision you make, every relation you enter, every way you handle pain, the one thing that drives all of that, we're talking about your beliefs. Now, what you believe, whether it's about yourself, what you believe about yourself, what you believe about love, what you believe about pain, what you believe about trust, that thing is either building you up right now, that believes, it's either building you up now or quietly, silently holding you back. And that's our topic today. What you believe can either help you or hold you back. So that's our topic this morning. So, and we're going to look at different beliefs. We're looking at some beliefs that you may hold, and I want you to examine those beliefs. Okay? It's not a believing in God that kind of, no, it's certain beliefs that you hold, certain things that might happen. Let's say, for example, your certain things that happen in your past experience that now become something that you hold on to as a belief. And that actually may hold, it might be holding you back. Or you're looking at this and it's something that actually strengthening me as a person, as an individual. So we're talking about your beliefs. And then we talk especially the roots. We're looking at, as I said, we're not just talking about problems. We're going to look at the roots of these problems. Okay? So, now, maybe before we start, as usual that we do here, okay? We're going to have a musical break before we start. But let me also invite you to join me, okay? Wherever you're listening us for, join me in discussion. So this discussion can only become rich and meaningful when you participate. So if you come through, if we discuss something that also you realize, ooh, that's happened to me and I want to share my own experience, that's how it become rich. I have a lot of stories. I have a lot of stories, example of people that probably I'm going to give an example of so-and-so. These are people that I met through my work, you know, and it's just to give us that rich experience or a real life experience of what is going on. But I want you to come through as well and talk to me also, because that would become more rich. We share, all right? So it become more real, it become more, you know, rich. Someone is sitting there going through the same thing, and when they hear this from you, they'll think, okay, there's hope. There's definitely hope. Okay? I want us to make this rich for ourselves. It's a platform that we created, not only to share in terms of that, but also you could be going through something. You could be going through some distressful, you know, conditions or situations. And sometimes you just don't know who to talk to. All right? This is also a platform for you to come through and talk. And as always, promise that we talk about what is going on. So we may not actually solve your problem. I mean, in a minute or 5 or 6 minutes, we may not actually solve your problem. But I always indicated, if there's something that I can lead you to somewhere, to someone who can be able to help you, I will be able to do that. So it doesn't have to relate to what we're talking about. So it could be totally something different, okay? Something that you are going through and you want and you need help. Or a question that you have, especially if it has to do with mental health issues. Because this is Mental Health Hours, okay? This is Mental Health Hours. From 11 to 1 o'clock, it's Mental Health Hours. And you're most welcome. Mental Health Hours. And you're most welcome to come through and share your issues and share your, this is not only about problems. Okay. You can come as well and share certain things maybe that you went through and, you know, and something that happened to you. So amazing or so beautiful that changes your life. Okay. So share that. We want to know. We don't just want to think here, depressive stories or something like that. We do want, you know, if we can be able to talk about and help and change that cause, you know, that's what we want. That's what we want to do here. But if you come and also share, you know, a good or something we have done on the show, most of the time I ask you to do certain things. I ask people to, practical things that they can go and be able to do. So if there's something that, you know, yeah, you tried it out and it worked, or it changes something in your life, well, come and share. You know, come and share. All right. So that's where we are. This is Unpacking the Day. And yeah, let's join hands and contribute to the show. All right. Okay, let's have some old stuff that we haven't heard for a while. Okay, we're gonna have Johnny Nash. Do you remember Johnny Nash? Ah, you might not. So you might be very, very young and you don't remember this. You remember that John Nash? Rock me, rock me, rock me, babe. Eh? You remember that? Okay, let's get John Nash, rock me, babe.
Say, 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 rock me, rock me, rock me, baby. Rock me out here on the floor. Come on, rock me, rock me, rock me, baby. Rock me till I want no more. For that sweet, sweet reggae music playing. The smell of perfume fills the air. The mood is right. Come home me tight. Ooh, let's dance romance while we still have the chance. Come on, come on. Rock me, rock me, rock me, baby. Rock me out here on the floor. Rock me, rock me, rock me, baby. Rock me till I want no more. There's a feeling of love deep inside me. This heart of mine is pounding in my brain. I feel the fire. I feel desire. Ooh, let's dance romance while we still have the chance. Come on, come on. Rock me, rock me, rock me, baby. Yeah, rock me out here on the floor. Come on, rock me, rock me, rock me, baby. Ooh, rock me till I want no more. Rock me, rock me, rock me, baby. Rock me out here on the floor. Come on, come on. Rock me, rock me, rock me, baby. Yeah, rock me till I want no more. And when the night is through, I will still be here with you. And the music will go on. Rock me, rock me, baby. Yeah, rock me out here on the floor. Come on, come on. Rock me, rock me, rock me, baby. Ooh, girl, rock me till I want no more. Oh, rock me, rock me, rock me, rock me, baby. I like it.
You rock me till I want no more. Yep, boom. Yeah, that's John Nash, Johnny Nash, rock me, babe. So it's only those from the 80s and the 90s that can really appreciate songs like this. So if you are from the 20s, 2000s, no, not definitely, the 90s and the 80s, the only one who can appreciate this kind of music. So, yeah, and they're classic. This kind of songs are very, very, very classic. You can play them 100 years later on. They still actually rock. They rock you. They definitely rock you. So welcome to, if you're just joining us, good morning and welcome. You are not on the wrong platform. You're not on the wrong platform. You're on the right platform. Thanks for joining us. And this is Eagle FM and you are on Mind Matter. So the show that actually focuses on, you know, on those psychological patterns and social factors that affect how we think, how we feel, and also how we make decisions in life, how we behave in life. So this is Mind Matter. So, and how we take care of our own mind, okay? We actually go deeper into our minds and really, what is going on? Because whatever you do, it comes from there. All right, we're talking about what you believe can either help you or hold you back. That's what we're looking. That's our topic this morning. And I'm looking at a belief that might be holding us back. Okay, let's start with emotions. Okay. Remember, let's start with emotion. And especially I want to focus on, this is one thing that most Namibian, especially you men, especially us men, okay, have been told to run away from. Okay, we have been told to run away from emotions. Okay, emotions. How many of you? Let me ask you a question. Okay, wherever you find yourself. So do this even when you are driving. So how many of you grew up? It's not only men, but women as well. So, but mostly men. I'm talking about men here now. So women, your topic will come also. So don't go away. You're only talking about men. No. So how many listen to what men have gone through actually? So, how many of you grew up hearing, hey, don't cry. Don't cry. Be strong. You're a man. You have to be strong, man. You know, man up. You're not a baby. You've been told, hey, you're not a baby. Be a man. How many of you had a father or an uncle or a teacher who said, hey, crying is for women? A real man does not, you know, does not show pain. Sometimes you have been told that a real man does not show pain. Imagine you have been told that when you were young. Okay, I'm going to give you, let me tell you about Tate Johannes. Real person. Tate Johannes is 38 years old. He's from Ondangwa. He's not from Ondangwa, he's from Mahangwena. So this guy is from Mahangwena. So he might know who I'm talking about. He's from Mahangwena. He's a teacher. Respected in the community, a provider, a strong man. That's what everybody calls him, actually, strong man. Okay? But Tate Johannes has not cried since he was actually 12 years old. Do you know since he was 12 years old? Why? Because that was actually the day they buried their, you know, he buried his father. So that was the day he buried his father. And one of his uncle told him, in front of everyone, wipe your tears. Okay? Wipe your tears. Men don't cry. I think he was only 12. So that's what his uncle told him. Now, so what happened? So Tate Johannes wiped the tears. He wiped the tears. He kept wiping them. What do I mean? For 26 years, he kept wiping them. What is it? He swallowed every divorce pain. He swallowed. He doesn't cry. He swallowed. He said, a man don't show pain. So he swallowed his pain, every job rejection, every night of financial stress. He swallowed that, you know, that pain. Every time his child looked at him with disappointment, he swallowed it all. And he smiled, okay? And this is a true story. Until one Tuesday morning, Tate Johannes, I didn't get up. Tata Johannes didn't get up. And this, my dear listeners, this is not a story. I didn't make up this story to scare you. Okay, it's a true story. And even if, let's say, for example, even if I made up, this is a true story for you. Someone you know or someone you heard might happen, this might have happened to him or to her. So this is a story of a real man across Namibia right now. Now, if I give you some statistic from April 2020 to March 2023, because that's the only thing I have here, 1,542 Namibians took their own lives. 82% of them were men. 82% of those people who took their life, 82% were men. And now, and you remember last year, was it last year, in the Angwena region alone, three teachers took their own life in a single month. It was, you know, it was a, something that actually, you know, touched the whole country. Three lives lost, you know, in 1 month. Three teachers, they took their own lives in a single month. Three men, three fathers, three sons, you know, gone. Because somewhere along the way, they believed that feeling pain was weakness. Remember that belief? That feeling pain was weakness. Is that what Tate Johannes believed? Because when he was 12, he was told, hey, you know, man up, men don't cry. So they believed that asking for help was shameful. And sometimes when we're talking about this, this is very true to many men. Yeah? To ask for help is shameful. You should be a man. Yeah? And that belief is a lie. Yeah? That belief is a lie. Asking for help is not shameful. They believe that emotions are wrong. So, and we have to understand this, okay? You have to understand this. I don't think when somebody tells you, people who are coming from that history, from that background, when they tell you that be a man, you know, be strong, be whatever, you know, man doesn't feel pain. When they say this, it's not that they are doing it to, knowing that they would cause pain for you. It's not that they are doing that deliberately because they know that this would cause pain for you. No, that's not the idea. The idea actually for them is to say, look, you are a man, and that's what also they know. So we live in a very competitive world. If you are this soft, you never got ahead, because that's what they experienced in their time. Could be true also today, but that lack a little bit of a balance. Do you understand? It's not that, it's, how would I say it? It's with bad intention. So it's not that it's with the bad intention. It is actually someone who said, hey, even now, today, I would actually tell my boy, you know, in certain cases, hey, you have to be a man, man. You understand? In some case, but, you know, you have to balance that as well. That, well, if something is going on with you, you know, it's all right to speak about what you're going through. It's all right to cry. It's all right to, you know, to show emotions. Yeah, but I also have to push him to say, look, hey, men are competitive by nature. And if you have to be weak, not really weak in terms, but if you have to show weaknesses, then definitely, you know, you're in a competitive men world, you won't go far. Do you understand? So there should be that balance. And I just want you to understand that people who say, you know, be a man, be whatever, they didn't do it because they have an intention of denying your emotions. It's just because where they're coming from. So that you're in a very competitive world as a man, this is what you need to show. You need to show up. You need to show strength. And seen being crying and whatever. Even women, I can say even to a woman. Say, for example, a woman who have a... let's say, for example, you are fired from your work. You are a woman. Your man has been fired from work. And he comes home and he's crying. Literally crying, you know. Oh, no. They fire me. And you look at that man. Even a woman will look at that man and say, what's wrong with him? You know, you should be a man. That it's not only from a culture of a man that we understand this way. It's also from our own culture. Our women around us also expect us to be certain type of people. Eh? Do you understand? So the belief that emotions are wrong, that belief is literally killing men. Okay? It's literally killing men. And it's not just men. Okay? Women too. So how many of our sisters are working, you know, are walking around crying, okay? Are walking around carrying trauma, you know, carrying trauma they have never spoken about. Yeah. Smiling on outside, broken in inside. So on the outside, we're all smiling, but in the inside, where is actually that song? You know, yeah, there's that song that, you know, Koshige, Andy Monica now, but, you know. So, because they also, this is about belief as well. This is about a belief. They believe that showing pain makes them look weak. Yeah? It makes them needy or too much. Kind of like, if you show pain, you kind of like, you are too much, okay? It could be something that you have experienced. Someone have said this to you or somebody, you know. And what happened? You started to go inside. On outside, you're all smiling, but inside, you're really, really suffering. So the belief that showing emotions are wrong, that belief is literally killing you. It's killing you. And it has killed many men. So now here's the truth. The truth is that, and the truth that I want you to hold on today is this. Emotions are not weakness, all right? They are not weakness. Emotions are data. In actual fact, they are like, I call this. I remember telling someone that, you know, emotions are like, not like, they are your internal GPS, you know? You know what's a GPS? Your internal GPS telling you something is wrong here. They are, as I said, they are data. That's information. That's information sent to you. Emotions are information. A GPS telling you that something is wrong here. Something needs attention here. Something is hurting here. That's what they are. In themselves, they are not, you know, they are neither good or bad, but it's how we judge those messages. Now, it's how we judge that those messages. We can judge them as bad or as good. It's depend on you. So, as I said, these are GPS. Yeah? So emotion are GPS. When you ignore that GPS, you get lost. And you get very, very, very lost. So, I think the challenge to this belief, we will have a challenge to all the belief. The challenge to this belief that the belief that emotions are weakness is a lie. Okay? So that's a lie. And feeling is not weakness. It's humanity. So we meant to feel. Eh? Because that's our information telling us, those are data telling us that there is something wrong here. There is a need for attention here. There is something hurting here. So it's information. What you do with the information, it's really up to you. So I want you to understand it in that way. Now, what you can do on this aspect of emotion, today, find one person you trust. One person. Okay, one person and say three words. I just want you to say three words. I am struggling. Those three words, I am struggling. That's all. That's all what you need to say. I am struggling. Yeah? That's maybe just those three words. Maybe that's where you can start. Okay? I am struggling. And see what the reaction and see what the response of others. So maybe that's where you need to start. Just those three words. I am struggling. So we are on Mind Matters. And stay with me on Mind Matter here. And we are just getting started. Our time is, 11:43 already. Oh my good Lord. So, now we just started. Time is already flying. So, yeah, let me say we're just getting started. Now, tell me, I want you to tell me, did someone ever tell you that crying was wrong? Did ever someone tell you that crying was wrong? How did that shape you? Now, think of it how that shaped you. I want to hear from you, okay? So do come through. Our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-99, no, not 00, 08333-66091, okay? We come into you live from the Ondangwa studio. And my name is Big Mike Oshaveli. Looking at what you believe can either help you or hold you back. And we were just looking at some emotions that there's some of the things that we have been told about emotions. Okay. And especially men that don't show emotions because that is a sign of weakness. And what happened? We have so many men that are actually, you know, dying because they have no one to tell because they don't want to show that. That weaknesses according to what they have been told. So, all right. So let's before we get to another music, let's talk about something that might be a little bit, you know, a little bit, as we go through could be become uncomfortable. And that's actually patterns. Specifically, the patterns we repeat in relationship, okay? Patterns we repeat in relationship without even knowing we are doing it. So there are certain patterns that we sometimes repeat in a relationship without even knowing that we are doing it. Now, here's a question for you. Now, and that might be uncomfortable. That's why I said this might be uncomfortable, but do it genuinely for yourself. Have you ever looked at your relationship? Now, look at your relationship that you had, even if you don't have one now, maybe the one you had before, and see your mother, okay? And see your mother or your father, not in a good way, in the way that, you know, why does this keep happening to me way, that kind of way? Why does this keep happening to me? So that kind of way. You date someone who drinks too much. You date someone who drinks too much. You leave. Then you date someone else who also drinks too much. You leave. Then another one, same pattern. Same pattern. Yeah? Or you keep finding yourself with someone who controls you, who talks down to you, who make you feel small. And every time you tell yourself, this one is different, but then it's not different. It's not different at all. So, my dear listener, that is not bad luck. Okay? Some people would think, I have a bad luck. No, that is a pattern. Can't you see? That's a pattern. A pattern comes from somewhere. Eh? That's a pattern that comes from somewhere. Let me tell you about Me Maria, okay? I'm going to tell you about Me Maria. Me Maria grew up in a house where her father hit her mother every Friday night, like clockwork, okay? Her mother would cook, her father would drink, and then the shout would start, and then the hitting. But you know what Maria, do you know what Maria's mother told her? That is just how men are. That's what she told her. That's how men are. You must learn how to handle your men. So Maria grew up with one belief deeply buried in her heart that pain is part of love. Eh? Pain is part of love. There could be many of you who believe that. Pain is part of love. That if a man is not rough with you, he doesn't really love you. I know a number of people who believe that. If a man is not rough with you, he does not really love you. So that conflict, you know, that conflict means passion. Eh? Conflict, it means passion. It's not that, you know, the person is whatever, it's abusing you. It's that you know, that's how we show we love. Because so there are those women who believe that. But 25 years old, now she's now 25 years old, maybe Maria had been in three relationships already. All three of them, the men hit her. And every time it happened, something in her felt, you know, familiar. Do you know why? Not okay. It's not okay, but it's felt familiar. So it's because of this is what's happening at home. So it felt normal, familiar, because this is what she grew up knowing. So in Namibia today, nearly one in three women experience intimate partner violence. One in three. That means in a room of 30 women, 10 of them have been hit, controlled, abused by someone who said they love them. And the research is very clear. The research is very clear. If you grew up watching abuse, your brain starts to wire that as normal. Okay? It's your brain starts to wire that as normal. Not because you want to be hurt. Okay? It's not because you want to be hurt, but because that is what love looked like in your home. Okay? In your home, that's what love looked like. And that is your reference point. That becomes now your reference point. So are we together? Now, I'm not blaming anyone here, okay? This is not a blame. So I'm not saying it is your fault, because it is absolutely not your fault. But what I'm saying, awareness. Now, we're talking about the reason why I'm trying to do this, that awareness is the first step to change. You cannot fix what you cannot see. Yeah? When you have to see this to be able to fix it. Okay? And our belief challenge is this, on this aspect, is that the belief that this is just how relationships are. Remember Me Maria? This is just how the mother of Me Maria said, this is just how relationships are. This, you know, this belief, this is just how relationships are. That belief keep cycle alive. It keeps cycle alive. Your relationship does not have to look like your parents' relationship. If you believe that, that keeps the cycle alive. So, but your relationship does not have to look like your parents' relationship. All right? So, what you can do, take 5 minutes this week. Okay? Take 5 minutes and write down this question. Okay? Go and get a pen and a piece of paper. So, now, what patterns, I want you to think, this is very important, what pattern from my childhood home am I seeing in my current relationship? Just write it. What patterns from my childhood home am I seeing in my current relationship? So, and this you don't need to share it with anybody. So it's just for yourself. just look at it honestly. Just look at it honestly. Because sometimes, as I said, you remember belief challenges that your relationship does not have to look like your parents' relationship. But as I also indicated to you, is that you cannot fix what you cannot see. And this is to help you to see what patterns, okay, from my childhood, home, am I showing, you know, in my relationship. So, and you know, and these are things in my heart with Dini Dishoshi, Yomfiruakalo. So the reason why, and this is what now, we kind of like now, which I also don't necessarily, you know, advocate. They look for you for a husband. Eh? And why do they do that? Because they look at how those parents behave, eh? The kind of manners that are being displayed by these parents, by these two adults. Okay? So they believe that their way of behaving, the way they behave themselves, would definitely pass them to their children. And therefore, anyone who is looking for someone to marry, they will see, oh, this is how they behave. They probably pass that behavior to their children. Okay? And if a certain parents, if certain house behave in a certain way, you know, nobody would like, I wouldn't want my son or my daughter actually to marry someone coming from that home, because look at how they behave. They are more likely, the children from that house, they're more likely to behave like how their parents do. Eh? What is that they say? Monkey see, monkey copy, monkey see what? Monkey see, monkey do, you know? So yeah, that's very, very important. But the other things then, understanding that concept, understanding that, is that your relationship does not have to look like your parents' relationship. And this is where now I'm asking you to do what pattern from my, now this is what I'm asking you to do. Write down, just, you know, this week, things that you, what patterns from my childhood home, my childhood home, you know, am I seeing in my current relationship? Because definitely the way you behave sometimes relate to what you know, to what you have seen. Okay? That would help you. It will help you to be able to see what you need to fix. Okay? So, and if you are in a situation that is hurting, there's also help. Okay? So there are things like Lifeline, Childline, you know, that are 24 hours, you know, available for help. I do help as well, people who need really help. And you can always, you know, look for that help. Okay? So, you do not to do this alone. Okay? You also do not to do this alone. So let's get to some music as well, because music on the show are part of the show as well. Okay. Something else. We haven't played. As I said, I'm going to those really low, really old music that we haven't heard quite a lot, and also Phil Collins, Another Day in Paradise. Okay, haven't you missed that song? Haven't you missed that song? All right. just another day. All right. That's Phil Collins in Paradise. So our time is about 12 minutes. 12 minutes. It's 2 minutes past the hour of 12. And welcome to Mind Matter. And yeah, it's a Saturday morning. And I hear someone just told me that so the weather in Windhoek, it's absolutely good. It's absolutely beautiful. So, well, hopefully all part of winter, because sometimes you could be in town or you could be anywhere. You're saying, oh, the weather where I am is good. And someone in Katutura tell you, what? Hasn't touched us. The rain hasn't even, not even a single drop here. So, yeah, hopefully you enjoy the weather wherever you find yourself. And welcome to your favorite show, The Mind Matter. And today we're looking at, you know, we're looking at the topic. This topic is about what you believe. It either can help you or it can hold you back. That's what we're looking at. And we're looking at the issue of emotions. We look at the issue of emotions and also, yeah, and also the issue of just hold on. All right. We look at the issue of emotions and also the issue of pattern. Yeah, we also look at the issue of pattern. Certain patterns that we, excuse me, there are certain patterns that we may actually, you know, inherit. Let me say inherit, not inherit genetically or just learned. Let me not use the word inherit. Could be misunderstood. So, learn from our childhood home. And one thing I ask you to ask, to look at yourself and see, is there anything that I do actually repeating those patterns? Okay? And yeah, so we looked at that. But the other things that we look at, all right, let's talk about one of the most powerful beliefs a person can carry, you know? You know, it could be powerful. It could also one of the most destructive. Okay. It could be also one of the most destructive. And that is actually self-worth. What do you believe about yourself? Deep down, what do you believe about yourself? Not the version you post on Facebook or Instagram. You know, not the version you show up at, you show at work, because sometimes you can show at work a different version of you. Now, what the version I'm talking about is a version that talks to you at 2 a.m. when you cannot sleep. That's the version I'm talking about. What does that voice say? What does that voice say? Now, a young woman, Alicia Antonio, a 24-year-old Namibian, she said something that stopped me in my own track, in my track, actually. She said, if you're not on the same financial level as your age group, you feel left behind. She's 24. You feel left behind. And that breeds overthinking, self-blame, and mental exhaustion. 24 years old, already feeling left behind, already self-blaming. 24 years old, already exhausted. And to tell the truth, she's not alone. I think she's not. Research shows our young Namibian are facing anxiety, are facing depression, associated social media pressure, you know, peer pressure. So, and at the core of all of it, a deep question. And that deep question is, am I enough? Am I enough? There's a guy I know, okay? There's a guy I know to show this, you know, there's a guy I know, Kaimo. No, not Kaimo. Is it Kaimo? Kaino, yeah. All right. So Kaino is 27. Okay. Let me give you a wrong place. He's from Katutura. Now, he's a very smart guy, funny, hardworking, But Kaino has been in a relationship with someone who disrespect him, talk down to him, you know, cheat on him, humiliate him in front of friends. And that has been happening for 3 years. And every time his friends say, "Hey, my Gazi, you know, why are you? Why are you still there, man?" Kaino laughs it, and he just laughs it off and say, "Ah, you know how it is, you know." That's all what he said. But the real truth, the truth Kaino has never said out loud, is that he stays because deep down, he believes he does not deserve better. So he believes because of things that happened to him as a child, things people said to him, things he experienced. So he believed that, he believed this is the best he can get. So you understand? So, and my dear friend, so this is how self-worth keeps you locked. You know, this is how self-worth actually keeps you locked in a situation that are actually destroying you. Here I'm just giving an example of one area. There could be other things in your own life, okay, where you feel, you know, the situation definitely is not beneficial for you, but you feel because of what you have gone through, because of what happened to you in your childhood life, could be, or things maybe people that have said to you, or things you have yourself experienced before. So now that self-worth, your self-worth, keep you locked into a situation that actually probably destroying you. The prison is not the bad relationship, okay? And get this very clear. The prison is not actually a bad relationship. The prison is the belief that you deserve to be there. That's the prison. Okay? It's not the bad relationship. For Kaino, it's not the bad relationship. It's the prison is belief that he deserved to be there. So here's what I want you to know, okay? Self-worth is not something you are born with or without. You're not born with self-worth or without self-worth. So it is built. Self-worth is built. It can be rebuilt. So you can lose your self-worth, but you can rebuild it. So you may have actually gone through experience in life that make you lose your self-worth, but you can rebuild it. It's not something that genetically built with you or without you or without. But it starts with challenging the voice that says, you are not enough. You're not good enough. So every time that voice shows up, and it will show up, it will show up. In some way or another, it will show up. I want you to ask that voice, where did you come from? Because it's coming from somewhere. Somewhere, somehow, you know, that voice is not yours. It's coming from somewhere. Ask it, who taught me this about myself? Because whatever you're saying to yourself, it's coming from somewhere. So who taught me about this? Who taught me this about myself? And is it actually true? Remember I said, when that voice showed up, and believe me, it's going to show up for any one of us. It's going to show up in some way or another. So in different ways, okay? There will be somewhere where you're actually questioning yourself. Some people would be about relationship. Am I worth of this person? Some people would be maybe going for an interview. Some people would be, you know, it's so many, many aspects. So, and I want to ask you, I want you to ask it. Ask that voice, where did you come from? That means someone somewhere have actually said this to me, and I start to believe it. And it got me here. where now I feel this? Who taught me this about myself? So, and is it actually true? So, because most of the time, that voice is not yours. As I said, that voice is not yours. That voice belonged to someone who hurt you. Someone who has broken themselves. Normally that comes from people who are themselves broken. And you have been carrying their words as if they are your identity. You understand? You have been carrying this as if it's your identity. But it was said to you. Eh? It's a voice belonging to someone who actually hurt you. So the belief challenge for this is that I'm not enough. When you find yourself saying, I'm not enough, that is borrowed. It's borrowed. It's a borrowed belief. And it's a time to return it. Okay? That's a borrowed belief. And it is a time that you return that. So, and I want you to do something. What can you do? I want you to do something. Write three things you genuinely like about yourself. Sometimes, you know, I ask people, it's just an exercise where write about five things about you like about yourself. And normally you write it in I am this, I am that, I am that. And other five things that you don't like about. People immediately found things that they don't like about themselves. Struggle by also finding things that they like about themselves because they never get into themselves. Now, I want you, if you're listening now, to write things, three things, just three things you genuinely like about yourself. Genuinely. Yeah? Not what other people say, not what others say about you. What you, okay? Make that you the bigger one. Yeah? You know what you know. Three things. Put them somewhere you can see every morning. So what happened is that if these are things that you like about yourself, three things, you can even, you know, later on, write it in a way that is more attractive or whatever. You can decorate it, put it in a frame, put it somewhere where you can see it. It reminds you mostly the strength that you believe in about yourself. And in most cases, if that's what you believe about you, that's what you show out there. Okay? Go out there and maximize that strength because that's what you believe in yourself. Not what people say, not the fake things that you put on a Facebook or Instagram or whatever, you know, social platform that you have. Three things. I'm only asking you three things. Okay? Put it where you can see it all the time. Because that's a strength that you appreciate within you. All right? So, yeah, do that. And this is Mind Matter, if you're just joining us. So we are going strong, very, very strong. You know, call in. I'm inviting you to call in and tell us. Has anyone ever made you feel like you were not enough? Anyone. Could be your parent. It could be your father. Could be your mother. Could be your sister. Could be anyone. Could be your grand. Who has anyone ever made you feel like you were not enough? Or could be your husband. Could be your boyfriend. And how did that affect your relationship? Okay. The line is open. It has been open. The line is open. Is actually this line fixed? I've been saying this. So we want to hear from you. I want to hear your story. Okay. What is your story? All right. So, yeah. Let me check if this line is actually, you know, if it's actually fixed. All right. Let's get to who do we go to? I only wanted those old songs that we haven't heard for for a while, you know. Huh, how about Tina Turner? What love? What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it? All right. So, all right, let's have Tina Turner.
Touch of your hand makes my pulse react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl opposites attract. It's physical. Only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than.
Well, that's Michael Lenz to Rock, Breaking My Heart. Well, thank you for joining us. If you're just joining us, our time is about 24 minutes past the hour of 12. All right, and we're looking at what you believe can either help you, or can either help you to grow or hold you back. And we continue looking at some belief that are root of some of the suffering that we go through as human being or as individuals. So one of the issue that can create some kind of belief that you hold on to is trust. Oh yeah. And this one is a big one, really. And how many of you have been burned so badly? Some of you have been burned so badly, betrayed so deeply, that you decided, never again, never again. So once you say never again, that becomes a belief. Never again, I'm going to let anyone in. It becomes a belief. Ever again. You see? And I can see you. There's so many, many of you. So many of us. So meet Tulonga, okay? Let me talk about this lady. Tulonga is 32. Okay, she was in a 5-year relationship. She was in a 5-year relationship. They were engaged and she was planning a wedding. She was very, very, very happy, genuinely happy. And then one afternoon she picked up her fiance's phone. That's why never do that. Never look into your partner's phone. All right? I would advise not to do that. Yeah, and the world really, really fell apart. Yeah? The world fell apart. Three other women, messages go back, yes. Messages going back, yes. Photos, everything. Now, Tulonga did not lose a fiancé that day. He just didn't lose the fiancé that day. She lost the ability to trust. Follow me. She lost the ability to trust. And not just one man, not just that man, but everyone. So she lost the ability to trust her friends, her family, even herself, because she blamed herself for not seeing it coming. Why didn't I see this? Now, 2 years later, Tulonga has a war. A very high wall. The thick wall. So, and behind that wall, she is safe. She feels that behind this wall, she is safe. She is protected. But she forgot one thing. Behind that wall also, she's completely, completely alone. Because she lost the ability. As I said, she lost the ability to trust. And not just to trust that man who hurt her, but everyone, friends, you know, family, and as I said, even herself. So, now, I'm not telling Tulonga or anyone who has been betrayed that to just forget and, you know, just forgive and forget and open your heart immediately. No, that's not what I'm saying. Okay? That is not what I'm saying at all. So what I'm saying is this, okay? And pay attention, you know, pay really, really attention. So when the belief now, this is now Tulonga's belief, when the belief shift from that person betrayed me to all people will betray me. You see that the belief now, all people will betray me. Just because you are betrayed by one person, now your belief has shifted. It's no longer that person betrayed me. Now all people will betray me. That is when the wound starts. This is now when that wound of betrayal will start actually running your life. So that's when now that wound of betrayal will start running your life. So, and betrayal is real. We know, I'm not pushing that away. It's real. Pain is real. But when we allow one person's action to become a universal truth for all people, we close the door of every genuine connection that tries to come in. So now you make that one person's action become the universal truth about all people. And normally we do that without realizing it. We often do that without realizing it. Something happened to us, and then we generalize that it becomes now the universal truth for every person. Okay, that's why we said all women are like this, all men are like this. Just because there was one man or one woman who did this. And what does that do? What does that do? It closes the door on every genuine connection that was supposed to come through that door. It was supposed to come through in. Yeah. Are you following me? Okay. And listen, trust is not just a personal thing. Again, I can look at this. When you think of in Namibia, for example, it's not just about, you know, a personal thing. Think about on a bigger level. Okay? Our nation has a complex history. Occupations, apartheid, then independence. You know, generations of our people, you know, had to learn to trust again. It's not just, you know, there are a generation that have to learn to trust again. Institution, communities, and relationships. So that healing took time. Eh? And some of us are still carrying that generational mistrust. Probably some in our bodies, some people in our own bodies. So now, I always have a challenge, a belief challenge, especially with trust. No one can be trusted. That becomes a belief. But that belief is a wound masquerading as wisdom. You think that you're kind of like, no one can be trusted, okay? It's actually a wound speaking. And it's masquerading, it's masquerading as wisdom. You think it's, okay, this is wisdom. No, but that's a wound speaking. That no one can be trusted. Now, what can you do? What you can do, I want you to think of one person in your life who has shown up consistently for you. There is always someone who show up consistently. You may not value them, but they're always there. May not be the person you want to, but they're always there. Okay? Think about one person in your life, especially those who show up consistently for you. One person who has been trustworthy. Focus on that evidence. Trust does not have to be, you know, does not have to be given all at once. Okay? It doesn't have to be given all at once. It can be rebuilt slowly, you know, carefully, and with the right people. So that's what I want you to do. So build that with that person that consistently show up. Okay? So this is just to help you start building your trust again, rebuilding it slowly, carefully, with this right person. All right? All right. Now, let's look at another aspect that can create, you know, the belief that might help us to grow or actually hold us back. So, and that's expectations. Okay, you know what social media has done to relationship. Yeah? You know what that has done to relationship. You know, it has created an epidemic of fantasy. Eh? You know, it really has created that. I always said that's an epidemic of fantasy. Every day on Instagram, you know, a perfect couple photos, a perfect proposal on the beach, a perfect your anniversary with roses and champagne, you know, a perfect weddings, a perfect honeymoon, you know. And we look at that and somewhere, whether we admit it or not, you know, we start to measure our own relationship now against those images. Okay? We start to measure our relationship with those images. So there's this young Namibian, Nesta Kambala, 30-year-old. He put it so well. He said, social media pressure and identity crisis normally lead to isolation and low self-esteem. Now, we are comparing our real life, to someone else's highlight reel, as they say. You know? In our real life, and I can tell you that our real life is never going to win in that competition. You know? Our real life, it's never going to win in that competition. If you compare your life now, your real life to someone else's highlight reel, you're not going to win. Your real life is not going to win in that competition. So, let me tell you about, who is that? Bromax and Cicelinda. I know them. So, the names are changed. It's not, I changed the name of the people. It's not really people who, it's real people, but the names are different. So, just to give you the story. So, Max and Linda got married six years ago. Beautiful wedding. And everyone was happy. But about 2 years in, the romance faded a little, okay? The romance faded a little. Real life moved in. Let's just put it away in that way. The real life now, you know, moved in. Bills, stress, work, kids, argument about money, argument about in-laws, you know, argument about who forgot to buy bread. The real life moved in, you know? So, and Linda started feeling disappointed. This is not what I expected marriage to be. You know, that's, she told now her friends that this is not what I expected now marriage to be. I expected as always to be happy, you know, to never fight, to always feel the butterflies, you know. So the Instagram and, you know, the Instagram and Facebook kind of way emotion and TikTok or whatever. And on the other side, Max really felt like a failure because he could not give Linda the fairy tale she had in her head. So because she have this fairy tale in her head, now he felt that he couldn't actually live up to her fantasy or so. Now they almost divorced. And over what? Over expectations. Not like others sometimes where you have abuse or someone is cheating, you know. Not even serious incompatibility, like we are incompatible, you know. Expectations created by, you know, by those fantasy. So, and here's the truth, okay? That I want you really, really to understand. Here's the truth, my dear listener. Health relationships are not the absence of problem. Are you following? Health relationships are not the absence of problems. Health relationships are two imperfect people choosing each other, okay? Two imperfect people choosing each other in spite of the problems. Choosing to work through it. You are choosing to work through it. Choosing to communicate. Choosing to grow together. Now, the belief that if we are really meant to be, it will always be easy. That belief is setting people up to walk away. And I always said to walk away from genuine good things. If you believe that if we are really meant to be, as if it just falls into place by itself, you don't need to do anything. Eh? It should be easy. As I said, healthy relationships are not the absence of problems. It's two imperfect people choosing each other every day. And that's every day. In spite of the problems. In spite of the problems. So, now, the belief challenge on this aspect is that expecting perfection destroys perfectly good relationship. Your relationship is perfect. It's good relationship. Your relationship is a good relationship. But because of your expectation of perfection, you destroy a very good relationship. So, and that's a belief. Do you understand? And that's a belief. So, now, what can you do? What you can do. Now, I want you to have an honest conversation with your partner this week. Okay? This week, have a very honest, conversation with your partner. Not about what is wrong. This is where I want you to change the way your discussion goes. Okay? Now, this is not about what is wrong, about what is going right. You understand? Discuss. Your conversation should be about what is going right. Celebrate the small things. You know, the quiet loyalty, the daily choosing of each other, you know? Celebrate those little things, those little wins in your relationship. So your focus is what is going right, not what is going wrong. I know it's easy to find what is going on, what is going right, what is going wrong, than what is going right. So that's where I want you to go through. And it's unfortunate, guys. I've been, you know, calling out, oh, please do come through and share your stories. I realized that our studio line hasn't yet fixed. excuse me. You might have been trying to come through, but you were not able to. So yeah, my bad. I just realized that because I could think, I look at, okay, what is going on? I just realized, actually somebody texted me and said, I'm trying to call, but I'm not getting through. Yeah. So, well, sorry. Things that sometime beyond our technical things that are beyond our power, what we can do. So, right. But I know you're sitting right there and listening. So yeah, that's good enough for you. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's also talk about, let's talk about conflict. We can't talk about this without talking conflict, because this one, people have very extreme views. All right. So, some people, the moment they hear, okay, the moment there's a conflict, they disappear. they go quiet, you know, and they shut down. They learn early on. Okay, they learn earlier that conflict is dangerous. Maybe in their home, could be in their home, it could be in the relationship throughout their in some relationship that they have been. Conflict always ended in someone getting hurt, for example. So they equate disagreement with destruction. All right. So, yeah. And then on the other side, some people go straight to fire. There are those who go straight to fire. The smallest disagreement becomes a war. You know, volume up. Wars up. You know, attack mode. So because that is also what they have learned. That's what they learn, that the loudest voice win for them when they grew up where the loudest voice wins. And I know someone who's like that. And I know a couple of people who are like that. The loudest win, the loudest, they believe that the loudest voice wins. And therefore, they would do anything always to, you know, they shout the higher. They think that, you know, by shouting, by being loud, that's a way. That's a way to do it. But both approaches, both are beliefs from, those are beliefs about conflict. Okay? And both can cause serious damage in relationship. Neither the other one or that, neither both. What is my English? Neither actually is, it's could be good. Those both can actually cause a serious damage in a relationship. Now, I know a family in my own town, you know, Ngudiva, big family, where certain issues have not been spoken about for years, you know, because no one wants the conflict. Okay, no one wants the conflict, so the silence feels like peace. But underneath the silence, there is resentment, there is pain, and there is distance. People are starting actually to distance themselves. So, and I know families where everything, where every single family gathered, when there is every single family gathering, it ends in a fight. Okay, it ends in a fight. You probably know a family like that as well. It ends in a fight because the belief is, if you are not fighting, you are not passionate. Okay, if you are not fighting, you are not passionate, and if you are not aggressive, you are a pushover. Eh? You are a pushover. All right. So, I think here's a different perspective. I want you to note, okay, to consider. Now, I want you to think, okay, in this way. What if conflict, not conflict, I'm not talking about conflict, I'm talking about conflict. So what if conflict was not the enemy of the relationship, but the teacher, okay? So, but the teacher, I'm not talking now the teacher in terms of that is the teacher. No, I'm talking about what if it becomes something that can teach you something. Eh? Instead of looking at it as if it's an enemy of a relationship, but looking at it as a teacher in a relationship. What if every disagreement was actually an opportunity? See that every disagreement, it's an opportunity. It just depends how we look at that. So what if every disagreement was actually an opportunity for two people to understand each other better? That, the conflict should be an opportunity where now, okay, let's understand each other better. Okay. To see each other's needs more clearly, okay? What are your needs? To find a new way forward. Now, you know that in Namibia and mostly in African tradition, we have a rich tradition of community dialogue, you know? Ubuntu. Unuomnu. All right? The idea that we are who we are through each other. Conflict handled with respect philosophy. Conflict handled with intention of understanding. All right? It's handled with the intention of understanding. And then if it's handled with the intention of understanding, it can actually bring people closer. In most cases, the intention is for you to be right. Conflict is approached as a disagreement, and it's approached with the intention of fight. You understand? And in that way, it divides people. It's a different perspective that I want you to really look at, to see conflict as an opportunity. And it is an opportunity. We don't look at it that way. We don't look at it this. It's an opportunity where people, where two people can actually understand each other better, where people can actually see each other's need more clearly and actually look look at a new way forward. It is an opportunity. It's just that we don't look at it in that way. So the belief I have, the belief challenge I have for this aspect, for conflict, is that conflict is not the problem. Okay? Conflict is not the problem. It is how we handle conflict that determines whether we grow or break. All right? The conflict itself is not a problem. It is how we handle that conflict that determines whether we grow or we break. Now, what you can do next time, and this is very important also, next time you are in a disagreement, okay? Next time when you are in a disagreement, before you respond, ask one question.
Wow.
So before you respond, ask one question. Help me understand what you need right now. Just say that one thing, and I can tell you how that's going to change a lot of your conversation. Help me understand what you need right now. Just that one question can change the entire direction of the conversation. All right? You are still with Mind Matter. Okay? And I hope this is somehow, you know, touches something in you. Okay? So, what belief about conflict did you grow up actually with? Okay? Did your parents fight openly? Did you go silent? Did they go silent? And how has that actually affected you? How has that affected you? Well, I'm just asking this question for you to look at yourself in terms of what, how did, you know, where did you, where you grew up, how did conflict was handled? Because you're more likely actually to handle it in the very same way. All right. All right, let's also look at past experience, because it's very important as well. This is the one where someone always say, you know, where you have someone say, hey, but no, you don't understand. Eh? But you don't understand what I have been through. haven't you had someone telling you that? But you don't understand what I have been through. You have heard that. You probably have heard that many times. And you know what? You know what? You're right. I do not always know your specific story. But I know this, okay? I know this, and you probably know this. Every single person listening to this show right now has been through something. Every one of you. Every one of you listening now, right now, you have been through something. Yes, I may not know what you have been through. You know, that's very true. When we said, but you don't know, but you don't understand what I have been through. Yes. But one thing I know is this. Every single person listening has been through something. And some of you have been through things that would break most people. Eh? You could be the one, you listening, you could have been through, really through things that would break some other people, some most people. You have been worse. You have been through worse. Eh? And as a nation also, you can look at how we survived this as a nation, you know, as a nation known. We know something about this, you know. We were under apartheid occupation until 1990, 35 years ago. That is not ancient history. It's not long time ago. Well, when we talk about independence, we can say, yeah, that has been long time, why there aren't changes. But in terms of scars, that hasn't. Some of your parents lived it. Okay? Some of your grandparents were there. Generational trauma is real. The scars of that history, the mistrust, the poverty, the displacement, you name it, they did not disappear the moment independence was declared. And yet, you know, something maybe that we can learn from Namibia as an individual, you know, Namibia chose to rebuild. Namibia chose to move forward, not to forget, but to not be imprisoned by the past. We choose not to be imprisoned by the past. That same principle, it applies to your personal story. Eh? It applies to your personal story. Let me tell you about Ndeshi, okay? Ndeshi is 30 years old, from Oshakati. Beautiful woman, intelligent, warm-hearted. But her last relationship, a four-year relationship, ended with deeply betrayal and emotional abuse. She gave everything, according to her. She gave everything and got destroyed. For 2 years after that, then she refused to date. Okay? She refused to open up. And she told everyone, I am fine on my own. I do not need anyone. You see, that has become a belief. So what would this belief do to her? I am fine on my own. I do not need anyone. But she was not fine. She was definitely, she was, when I spoke, when she started to see me, she wasn't fine. She was afraid. She was not fine, but she was afraid. Okay? Then slowly, she started talking to me as a counselor. She started to understand that what happened to her was not a reflection of her worth. Do you understand? It was not a reflection of her worth. That one broken person's actions did not actually predict every future relationship. It shouldn't be something that predicting every now future relationships. What happened in the past, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen in the future. So she's now in a relationship, not perfect, but healthy. I would say, but healthy. Okay? That's her own word. Her own word. Perfect, not perfect, but healthy and real. Okay? So, and she told me, I almost let my past steal my future. That's something that you need to think about. I almost let my past steal my future. This is someone who was saying, I'm fine on my own. I don't need anyone. Okay? And now she found herself in a healthy, a real relationship. And she said, I almost let my past steal my future. So, now, your past shapes you. Do you understand? Your past, every one of us, our past shaped us. It shaped who we are. But it does not make, how would I put it? But it does not have to define you. It shapes your life, but it does not have to define you. What happened to you is part of your story, but it's not the whole story. All right? It's not the whole story. You still have a lot to write in your book. So the challenge to this belief is that because it happened before, it will always happen again. That is a fear speaking. That's not a fact. That's actually a fear speaking. As I said, she was afraid. Realize that she was afraid. It's a fear speaking. It's not just because it happened before, it will happen again. Okay? Our past shapes you. Your past shapes you. But it does not actually define you. What you can do I want you to identify one thing. Identify just one lesson. One lesson from your past painful pain. I mean, from your past, you know, painful experience. Just one. I only need one. Something it taught you about yourself. What does this experience, what does this painful experience, what this lesson, what does it taught you about yourself? About what you need. Maybe it's what you need. It taught you about what you need, about what you will no longer accept. It may be something that this I will no longer accept. Now, turn that pain, turn the pain into a wisdom. I want you now to turn that pain into wisdom. All right? All right? So I want you to turn that pain into wisdom. All right. So there was one belief that I wanted us to talk about, and that was a family, but it's 1 o'clock already. And we are coming to the end of today's Mind Matter. And I want to close off with something simple, okay? Something real, okay? Today, we talked about eight beliefs. Seven. So these are seven visible scripts that are quietly running the lives of millions of Namibians right now as we speak. So beliefs about emotions, we talk about belief about emotion, we talk about patterns, we talk about belief about self-worth, talk about trust, talk about expectation and conflict and the past, you know, past experience. And here's the most important thing I want you to take away today. You are not your beliefs. You have beliefs, okay? But those beliefs can change. Yeah, those beliefs can be changed. You're not defined by them. It can be changed. It can be challenged. It can be rewritten. Okay? So that invisible script you are running today, most of them were rewritten. Actually, most of them were written by other people. So it's what your parents told you, it's what your teachers told you, it's what, you know, you experienced throughout life. So, but it can be rewritten. So most of them were, as I said, were written by other people, by your circumstances, by your pain through life, and not by you at all. So the good news is, and it's the great news, is that you have the pen now. You got the pen. You have the pen now. And you got to rewrite the story. So you got to rewrite the story to fit what you want to be. Okay? And the other thing is that you don't have to do it alone. Okay? You don't have to do this alone. If today's conversation touched something in you, if you are struggling with any of the things we talked about today, so please reach out, call someone. So you can call me as well. You can call me 081-854-8569. All right? So you don't have actually to be in a crisis to call. You don't need to, as I said, you don't need to be in a crisis for you to call. You can call just to talk, just to process. Sometimes it's just to process certain things in your life, just to have someone listening. Okay? Because sometimes all we need is a person to hear us. We just need someone to hear us. Now, to every Tate Johannes we talked about, to every Tate Johannes who is holding on, you matter. I want you to tell you that you matter. To every Meme Maria who is in a cycle you never choose, you know, there is a way out, as we have talked about. So to every kino who believes they do not deserve better, you do. You definitely do. And to every Tulonga whose walls are up, love is still possible for you. Still possible for you. And to every Ndeshi who almost let the past steal the future, so I would say keep going, yeah? Keep going. And you are not all, you're not alone. Namibia, you're not alone. So, and I'm Mike. I'm Michael Chevalier, your host, and this has been Mind Matter. Until next time, keep thinking, keep feeling, keep growing, because your mind matters. And so do you. Take care of yourself. I'm going to leave you in the hands of, I think it's Tate France. Last week it was, and it was David, I think it's Tate France. Coming up with Riam of Historic, coming up your way in short minutes. So from me, I wish you you to continue with your weekend, and yeah, enjoy your weekend. All right, so I leave you with wet, wet, wet. Love is all around you, okay? Until Franz take over. So goodbye from me, and have a good weekend.